It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode sponsored by Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes getting your kids dressed a lot easier. Their signature bamboo fabric is incredibly soft, breathable, and gentle on sensitive skin. It stretches so kids can move comfortably all day, from playtime to bedtime. Parents love the smart details too, like double zippers and fold-over mittens that make diaper changes and getting dressed faster and easier. And because Little Sleepies are designed to grow with your child, they last longer than typical kids' clothes. Right now, discover the ultra-soft styles families swear by. Visit littlesleepies.com and find your new favorite pajamas today.
Second hour here, Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106 of the game. Paul Karski in for Robbie. Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are getting great service today from our own Jared Stillman.
We are.
You know, before we get into the Titans and whatever you and Stilly are going to yell at each other, I got to say, Jared, you know, I rarely unmute you on Twitter, but Keezer pointed me in your direction, and what an absolute stream of tantruming you had last night about UC Soros. You okay, bro?
Boy, I tell you, last night watching the Four Nations face off, which I don't know.
Where's Jared Stillman? Who is this?
I'm sure you watched the game last night.
Wait,
the
what?
Four Nations.
That voice. Sure. Some Jared Stillman impersonator.
He sounds like Kermit the Frog, but he's sick.
Patrick Mahomes
is toughing it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Mahomes.
It sounds like the AI version of Jared Stillman, like one of these commercials we run, which is clearly half AI and is wild. Anyway, you watched the Four Nations last night, Joe? I'm sure you did.
Hell no.
I watched
I didn't
a little
ask
bit.
You.
But
I know you didn't. You don't watch anything. You don't even watch football anymore. But I was asking Joe.
I did not watch the third period when it all went to
So when it was 1-0 Finland, when it was 1-0 Finland, I was a little worried. I was nervous. I was like, oh, my God, he's going to shut out the United States, and Willie and Chris Mason and everybody else are going to be like,
you were worried about your takes. You were worried about getting smoked.
Well, and not only that, I mean, I don't know about you guys. I was rooting for the United States. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm allowed to root against Soros, root for the United States. So I was watching the game last night.
Gulf of
America. And and the second goal that made it 2-1 USA was not Soros' fault. You know, I think it was a beautiful tip, like right in front of the net, something the Predators almost never do. It was beautiful, and I couldn't blame Soros for that, and it's 2-1. And I just had this overwhelming confidence at 2-1 going to the third that the USA was going to prevail, and probably prevail comfortably, because I'd seen this from Soros so many times, where it's like, you know, he plays well for the first 40 minutes, and then there's like a 3-minute gap of just horrendous play. And then everybody who's a Soros defender tells me that, well, for 56 minutes out of the 59 minutes he was in net last night, he was great, but it was the 3 minutes. And I'll be damned if the 3 minutes weren't a total train wreck last night. And it's just, at this point, it's who he is. 6 goals against the terrible Blackhawks, 6 goals against the very good Americans. I mean, at some point, and again, everybody on Twitter, just like they say with the, oh, it's the defense's fault. It's not his fault. It's not, again, totally different team, totally different, you know, set of circumstances. Exact same thing happens. And Twitter said, oh, it's not his fault. It's the defense. So I enjoyed that one. And I got to tell you, he is terrible right now. And the hope better be that he's lost it temporarily and hasn't lost it permanently. Because if he's lost it permanently, there's going to be a lot of people over there that lose their jobs over this.
Real quick, before we get in the Titans, you have trots today?
I do not have trots today. Oh. Why would I have trots on a Friday?
What day is your trots day? Why did I think it was
Friday?
Usually
Tuesday, but they're on break. So I don't know if we'll have him next Tuesday or not. But we're going to have some conversations about the goalie next time trots comes on the program.
I'm looking forward to it. So
I've already told him like 16 times this year I wouldn't have signed him to that contract.
Yeah, and I'm sure he takes that seriously.
He ran to his office and tried to make amends. Tell me, briefly, if you will, how firing J-Rob was the worst decision I heard you say the other day the Titans have ever made, as opposed to, say, drafting Isaiah Wilson or trading A.J. Brown.
Because the decision to fire J-Rob wasn't one that was – like, there's no excuse for whatever reason that you would have had to fire the general manager in the middle of the season when you were 7-5 in first place. Like, the logic that led you to do that – like, again, I don't – you know, the Brown trade was horrific, and it was the kind of thing that gets somebody fired. But the logic behind it, it makes sense why they would think to do that. It was – bad logic, but at least there was some logic. The logic of, well, I'm just mad that I got flicked off by the Eagle fans, so I'm going to fire the general man. Like, that's terrible, terrible, terrible logic.
Well, firing him in season was dumb.
Was the problem. Yeah. That was the moment that said to me that this was a poorly run operation. The day before that happened, the day before he got fired, I said to Caroline, I go, you do realize that in other organizations, the less stable organizations, because at that point in time, I had respect for Amy's ownership of the Titans. And I said, you do realize, like, in other organizations with the bad owners, you know, the coach gets fired off of a game like that. Now, I wasn't thinking, like, the head coach. I was thinking, like, the secondary coach, the D coordinator. You know, somebody gets fired because they get embarrassed that A.J. Brown has that kind of game.
Which had happened under Amy, by the way, in 2016 with Bobby April. But keep going.
And the next day, she hauled off and fired the general manager. And at that point, I realized this was first, I had to do some serious digging to say, like, wait a minute. Was there like
yeah? You made
HR
up a whole
reason.
Bunch of ridiculous theories,
right? Yes.
With no
again,
no evidence whatsoever.
No. Yeah. I heard what you said yesterday, Paul. It was totally out of context. I said at that point in time, I started investigating. Was it something that was HR related?
You launched
now, you're
an
saying
investigation
because I went through all of these different like. Could it have been that, I don't know, like he stole tickets, you know, was supposed to go to the J-Rob Foundation.
Stop repeating these things. People hear them and they take you seriously. And there's no evidence to
any
of them.
Only stupid people that don't listen to the context of it, like you, Paul.
Again, people are in and out of their cars during your show. That's how radio works. You're smarter than that.
I said, could it have been this? Could it have been? And the answer was no. So it was like, so wait a minute.
Everybody knew the answer.
It took you like a year.
Got mad and fired him. Yeah. So the day that John Robinson got fired, Paul, you didn't think that there could have been some sort of HR reason that led to his firing.
No.
You think it was simply just the owner overreacted.
Yeah. I know the Adams family. I spent time with them. I understand. But listen, if you go blind, okay, you have an objection to the
timing. But again,
to my point,
what I was saying was that was the moment that I realized this operation was run terribly. And so everything that's happened since then, the hiring of Rand Carthon and the shotgun marriage with Vrabel and the lack of clarity as to who's in charge and the firing Vrabel and hiring a worse coach and like all of that, the keeping Chad Brinker when you fired the guy who hired him, like all of that has aligned since the firing of J-Rob because the firing of J-Rob was the moment that I realized this franchise was out of control.
Okay, but. Take that away. The firing of J-Rob was poorly timed, sure. But somehow this leads to you giving him a free pass. Like if I gave you a blind resume and said, Isaiah Wilson, Caleb Farley, Treylon Burks after trading away A.J. Brown, you would give your usual intensive analysis and say, sucks, should be fired. But how with J-Rob are you okay with that?
Because he won. Because the general manager's job is to win. If I gave you Howie Roseman's blind resume, and it was two firsts, a second, a third, a fourth, and $79 million in cash
Wentz.
For Carson Wentz, and if I told you Andre Dillard and Jalen Reagor, you'd have the exact same response.
So you think he's going to dig out? You think he was going to dig out of all of this when it also included Rashawn Evans, Corey Davis, Adoree Jackson, a terrible record of drafting in the first round that created the hole that they're still in, quite frankly. Not that Rand Carthon was a solution for it. They blew that, too. But, I mean, his player acquisition was phenomenal for 3 years and then dropped off the face of the earth. Howie Roseman's was, you know, kind of scattered, at least. J-Rob was good for a while, and then he was really bad.
I don't agree
and you
that.
Defend
I think
him,
John
I think,
Robinson had
predominantly
great drafts. Yes.
You defend him predominantly for a reason that you hate generally, which
it
is
was
this.
Not
this
a,
go ahead.
It was, with John Robinson, it was not a 3-year period. It was the 16 draft was elite.
Great.
And the 19 draft was probably
phenomenal.
Even better than the 16 draft.
Right.
And then they traded a 4th-round pick for Ryan Tannehill. I mean, that is the, in essence, that is what built this team.
Right.
And he had screw-ups along the way. To answer your question, I think John Robinson should, first of all, we should have let them finish the season. And
I agree
believe,
with that entirely.
And Joe, I know you agree with this. I believe they would have won the Jacksonville game that week had they not fired Robinson. And there's no way to determine whether or not who's right or wrong about that.
I do agree.
But I think he should have been given the rest of the season. And then I think he should have been given an offseason. How you can fire a general manager after he wins 3 straight division titles. But I think he should have been given an offseason to dig himself out of this. And
I agree with all of that. But to go back and give him a pass on all of this stuff, which was disastrous, is ridiculous. And I'll tell you the basis.
Did I give up? Did I say good job, Isaiah Wilson?
I'll tell
fact,
you. I'll tell you the basis
Davis
of this. The basis
is
of this.
The biggest mistake he made.
The basis of this is rooted in something that you hate. You hate, I think,
sacred cowism, which is what
like we
you're
all
going
do.
To.
We hate this thing where you hire a buddy and you love your buddy no matter what. You would say it like with Vrabel and Craig Aukerman. You and I are big on that. I don't think they're as big of buddies as you think they are, but you hate that. You hire the buddy, and you stand behind the buddy no matter what. And your thing is Floyd loved John Robinson, and if Floyd loved John Robinson, I love John Robinson, and John Robinson's great.
May I talk now?
Yeah.
Okay. When I talk about the fact that John Robinson won 61% of his games, which is a fact, right, Paul?
It's a fact, but he's also responsible for a lot of losses after that.
That has nothing to do with Floyd's. That is nothing to do with his relationship with Floyd. When I talk about the fact that they made the playoffs 4 times in 6 years, 6 full seasons while he was the general manager, that has nothing to do with Floyd. When I talk about the fact that they won 2 back-to-back division titles, that has nothing to do with Floyd. In fact, nothing that I argue in defense of John Robinson has to do with Floyd. And if John Robinson had had another bad offseason and the team had been bad in 23, if that had been the case, then I would have been totally on board with his firing in spite of how Floyd felt about him. Because I care about results. You know, this is like the same people that call me racist for wanting Rand Carthon fired. It has nothing to do with it. The facts are the facts. And so with Robinson, you have decided that I liked Robinson because Floyd was friends with him. When I'm giving you
I've
facts
decided you like
about
him because you're defending Isaiah
losses.
Wilson.
Did I defend Isaiah Wilson?
You're defending a record that includes terrible first-round picks. Can you stay for the next segment?
Then you must say that you must think that Howie Roseman sucked because he drafted Andre
Dillard. Can you stay for the next segment?
Does Howie Roseman suck, Paul?
Dude, it's apples and oranges. Can you stay for
the
next
segment?
Do you understand radio works with the breaks, Jared? You understand the breaks. Can you stay for the next segment?
Yes, Paul.
When we come back, we're going to see if he's changed his mind a fourth time on Sam Darnold getting franchise tagged when we come back on Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 The Game.
Good tease.
Woo!
Nashville's best deal this week, 312 Pizza Company, Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. And, hey, while supplies last here of PK screaming at Jared, go ahead!
Not screaming. Got 2 topics, so let's be concise, Jared, so that we can thoroughly cover these. So you were the first to say Sam Darnold was going to get tagged, which was a good idea at the time. Now it's kind of wavered back and forth. But, like, when you initially said it, I said I didn't think it was going to happen. Then when it became popular thinking that it was going to happen, you were like, admit it, Paul, he's going to get tagged. I was right. And I was like, yeah, it seems like you were onto something. Good job. But now it seems like he's probably not going to get tagged. So where do you stand on that? Is there a big mea culpa coming from you that your prediction may have been wrong?
Do you remember why you said he wasn't going to get tagged?
I thought it would be cost prohibitive for them to move forward with the rest of their roster.
Cost prohibitive against what?
against the salary cap, which you think
against
is imaginary.
Against the cap. You said they can't do it. They don't have enough cap space. The cap.
Jared.
And guess
Jared,
what?
No one reasonable in the world thinks that your cap take is smart. It's really dumb, dude.
Don't
make yourself look dumber by doing the cap space.
No, go ahead. Make
for about for 10 straight weeks, everybody said, yeah, they're going to tag him. And the cap didn't seem to matter. Then he had the two bad games. And now everybody I talked to at the Super Bowl seems to think
this isn't
about
everybody. It's about you. I asked you about you.
About me?
Yeah. You insisted he was going to be tagged, and you were a revolutionary because you were ahead of it. So now, is he going to be tagged?
Again, the popular
discussion. No, your opinion.
I would tag him.
Your opinion.
I guess he's not. They seem to.
Oh, my God. You were wrong. So let's tell us about you being wrong.
He's earned the right to be a free agent.
Okay, so were you wrong about him being tagged then? You don't like to spend much time.
Yeah.
If he was tagged, you would have spent three shows about how you were right about him being tagged. I'm asking you to spend 30 seconds about how you were wrong about him
being
tagged.
That's not what Jared doesn't do that.
I know. That's why we're going to do it here.
It sounds like Minnesota made the decision off of the two bad games. How am I supposed to know those two bad games are going to happen? Also, I think
you either predict things and keep score on them, or you don't. You don't predict things and only keep score when you're right. This is what you do.
That's what Jared does. I mean, at least
he's
not on
Robbie and Rex Road when I'm sorry.
I was wrong in 2017.
Now, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about this because you spent a lot of time on this, and this is a question I'm asking. So it looks like you're wrong on Darnold being tagged when you thought you were revolutionary about it at the beginning, correct?
You know what the best part is going to be?
Correct or not correct?
All of my feeling towards Darnold's being tagged is about the kind of the chatter that has come out from the Super Bowl. And what I would love is if Minnesota's doing one of those things where they tell everybody they're going to let him be a free agent, and then they don't, and then they tag him.
And then you'll
then
have
I'll
a parade for yourself because you're right. But as of right now, you're wrong, right?
I'll ask you to come on the show that day, and you'll say that you can't because you're busy.
No, I'll come on.
Even though
you're never
not busy,
me on your show.
But
you never.
I'll have
on
you on the show for that, Paul.
Okay, here's another question for you. When you have an issue with me on the air, why do you text Joe? And when you have an issue with Joe on the air, why do you text Robbie? It's very much like your intensive analysis where you say a guy sucks, and then you never show up in front of him, and he doesn't know what you look like. Why when I think you suck, when I'm in my car picking up my kid, I text you directly. I don't text Ian. This is called standing up in front of a guy and being direct with a guy. And I don't know if people understand. Let me finish. I don't know if people understand just how weaselly you are with this, with your shame or inability to directly confront someone.
Paul, I have no problem confronting you. I have no problem confronting
coaches, players, why didn't you text me the other day when you're texting Joe about me?
Because the way to do this is on a two-person show. You text the other person, and then they offer that into evidence.
No.
See, if I text you about the fact that your
That's
take
the cowardly way to do
John
it.
Robinson is the one who screwed everything up for this team right now, and that's why they're so bad, even though
Wait,
the
is this
Washington
Lou Holtz?
Commanders
Wait, is
busted
Lou Holtz is
on
the room, ladies and gentlemen.
Even though the Special Washington guest. Commanders busted in 2020, 2021, 2022,
you are so
and 2023.
Good at changing the topic.
Again,
I'm asking you why do you cowardly
finish.
Text
Can I
the ultra person? Yeah, but answer the
I let
question.
You finish. So I enter that into evidence. If I text that to you, you're not going to sit there and say, still he texted me and said that Washington busted on the four first-round picks and they seem to be good now. You're not going to do that. So you bring it up to the other person. The other person says, still he says, and then you have to defend it on the air.
Well, I like to text you. I text you or I text you and Ian in tandem when I hear you say something.
Yeah, but you guys
I mean,
text
Ian's
us
the
so
biggest
much
yes man in the history of yes
that, Joe, you text us so much. Like, I can't even, like, read it while I'm on the air because it's like a long textbook.
I mean, Stillman says, hey, Ian, does blah, blah, blah? And Ian, I've never heard Ian say anything but, yes, sir.
Well, no.
Yes, sir, Jared.
I mean, I went through.
Dead,
I mean,
dead
Ian
on that. No.
Pushes back a lot.
Ian pushes back. He just does it kindly because Ian's a kind person.
He just doesn't. He doesn't agree. I'd say doesn't agree more than
here.
He does
here's
agree.
The agreement I'd like you to make with me. If you have something about what I say, man up and text me about it. That's
be
the
a
deal.
Man.
I'd like that's,
be 40.
That's the
be.
Deal. Yeah,
you
that's the
fight,
deal.
Paul?
I'd like. No, I don't want to fight.
That's what it sounds like.
If you have something to say to me, say it to me. That's how I deal with people.
Okay.
That's how you should deal with people. That's how grown men
when
deal.
I say it to the other person, children when I say deal it to Robbie people. About Joe, when I say it to Joe about Robbie, when I say it to Adam about Willie, when I say it to, it's to get it on the air, Paul. You would not, as you were going on your rant that John Robinson is the worst, and you said that it's still his fault that this team sucks when, again,
it's
like
partially
if
still
he had
his
drafted
fault.
Well in 2020, if he had drafted well, he'd still have his job now.
Yeah.
That's why he doesn't have the job.
Treylon Burks should still be an effective person for this team.
Again, that's why he lost the job, Paul. Like, that's how GMs get jobs.
Let's end on something.
They inherit bad situations.
Let's end on something we agree on.
Hold on. I get to fit.
I get last word. It's my show.
If I had texted you about the Commanders,
I'm going to introduce
one
more question.
Never introduced that.
I'm going to introduce one more question. Ian Rappaport, be quick on this. Ian Rappaport's insider role, you had something that defined just how bad these guys are at their job. Quickly hit this because we can end in agreement here.
I mean, the idea that he needed something to go on TV to say that he had that was newsworthy for a scoop segment. And so he took something that everybody already knew that was said on the record publicly in front of everybody like 6 weeks ago and pretended like there was some new report that the Titans are open to trading the number one pick. It's ridiculous. Jay Glazer's scoop segment is Jay Glazer saying, hey, the Jets called Aaron Rodgers in town and told him they don't want him back anymore, which none of us knew before Jay Glazer said it. That's a scoop. The idea that, hey, Tennessee might trade the first pick, they're kind of open to it, is not a scoop. And I think it's incredibly disingenuous that these people act holier than that.
Agree with Jared. Thank you, Jared.
Okay, that's a wrap. I'm sorry you were wrong about Darnold. Take care. Have a good show later today. Jared Stillman, everybody. You can hear him make crap up at 2 o'clock.
Thanks, Jared. See ya.
See you guys.
Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Thanks for all your reaction on the game phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025, by the way. Lots of reaction to PK and Jared. I don't have time to go through it all. Some people love you. Some people hate you. Some people love him. Some people hate him. Some people think that was amazing radio. Some people think that was terrible radio.
Yeah, I don't feel great about it. He's snarfing. That was a snarf without liquid involved.
There's me just coughing directly in the microphone. Let's just continue with this amazing
I'd love
hour
to be
radio.
On that mic next show.
Good God.
Yeah, who sits there?
I think this is Big Joe, but they're probably, are they on a remote? Are they going to be out? Who knows? We'll find out.
Yeah, fumigate that, Nick.
I apologize in advance.
I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Joe Burrow's been outspoken everywhere he's been, pushing his ownership to re-sign T. Higgins, to re-sign Hendrickson,
yep.
to take care of Jamar Chase, whose deal is on the horizon. Now Micah Parsons is talking the same way. Like, the Cowboys need to get out there and be aggressive, re-sign our guys, go get people in free agency. There are others. There are wives who are outspoken. Matthew Stafford's wife is apparently part of their issue with him. I feel like, I mean, there have been diva receivers who have talked like this in the past. But, I mean, Burrow and Parsons, I think, are model citizen guys who are linchpins of their franchise. Do you feel like this is a little bit new, a little bit trendy, and does this endear these guys even more to their fan bases when they are putting pressure on, in Cincinnati, a generally stingy owner, in Dallas, a generally foolish owner, a delusional owner? Can it have effect? What's your take on what's happening?
Yeah, well, first of all, I love it. I do, because and I know some people, I think I heard on Unsportsmanlike, they're talking about like the Cowboys should move Parsons because he's so outspoken. But I think if you're a great player, well, obviously, is it new? What's very new is, most of your career covering the NFL, if guys wanted to get something out, it was through the media, right? Now everybody has their own microphone. So, it's just a totally different deal. In that regard,
well, it's still the same in that you're saying it out loud to be out there.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, it doesn't have to be like, well, look, this guy popped off in the locker room, and, you know, Channel 2 had it, and now... Right.
Well,
like,
but Burrow's done it on a variety of different
outlets. But I'm just saying, like, obviously social media and everything, everybody now can, they can get what they want to say out on their own independently.
Yeah, in whatever forum they want.
Yeah, whenever they want, however they want. And so, and I think it's great. I mean, you know how this league is... You know what this league is? Like, if you're a great player who contributes to winning, you're going to get paid, and I think you can get away with a lot of this. And if you're not, you're cut. It doesn't matter how much they love you, how great you are in the community, how well you get along with your teammates and people in the organization. Nah, okay, you're not good enough on the field. Bye. So to me, if you are, use your power. And I think that's what these guys are doing. And it should be illuminated when you have cheapos like Mike Brown has been forever. And that organization has been. And Jerry Jones talks a big game, but what did he do last year to improve the Cowboys?
Zero.
You know? I mean, I love it.
I love it, too. I mean, on a smaller scale, I've always liked the Titans guys the best, who are good enough to speak their mind without fear of consequences. Delanie Walker was good enough to say what was on his mind and not fear a call into the coach's office or the GM's office, or not care if he got called into the coach's office or the GM's office, because he knew he was going to produce on Sundays. He knew that he had the respect of the guys in the locker room. And if he felt like something was on his mind or he wanted to answer a question honestly, he was going to do that. Blaine Bishop was like that. There have been some guys. There's nobody on that team right now that qualifies that way.
See, I also think there's a huge difference, because I think when you get into questioning the coaching stuff, I mean, you know, that can.
Well, I'm not suggesting that so much.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, no one. It's like, for example, when AJ Brown was on the block, or they were trying to sign him, and some fans are like, he's a cancer in the locker room, or whatever. You know, I'm like, guys, everybody in that team is like, good, get paid, screw them. The front office and the ownership talk trash about them. Like, who? No one. It doesn't affect the locker room and the coaches and players trying to win football games together. You're the laborers. They're the management, right?
Yeah.
That's the split. So all this stuff about AJ Brown being, it's like, no, I promise you, every guy on that team is rooting for him, wants him to be their teammate, and says, hell yeah, get paid. Now, when you get into coaching criticisms, yeah, obviously, then that can get into issues. And it's funny, though. We just watched the Eagles win it all when, how many times have we seen AJ with that, with teammates, with coaches, stuff we heard about Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, and they still find a way through it? But to me, the ripping ownership, ripping, you know, player acquisitions, hell yeah, rip the suits.
Yeah.
Player, they're screwing it up.
Player to player, the two big messages are stay healthy and get paid. Those are the two big messages. I mean, I probably told this story before. I covered Keith Bullock once, like in a little thing for SI where they had a weekly, they played a Madden game against somebody that was coming up on the Monday night game that they were playing, you know, and I can't remember who he played, but I went and wrote up a little thing about his side of it from his house. Somebody did it for the other side, you know, and that's what he said. Goodbye to the guy. Hey, stay healthy, get paid. That always stuck with me. That's like the message, guy to guy.
Right.
Hey, let's kick each other's ass on Monday night, but you stay healthy and get paid.
Exactly. They all know the score and how quickly in this league.
But I think, too, this bond, I mean, Joe Burrow, immensely popular. Micah Parsons, immensely popular. And when they're saying things to ownership that the fans are saying to ownership, that the fans wish they could walk into Jerry Jones' office and say, or Mike Brown's office and say, I mean, that endears them even more. It broadens the affection, like, hey, this is the guy I'm rooting for every Sunday. Plus, he's me. He's out here tailgating, having the same conversation over beers, and feels the same.
Go get a freaking number two receiver.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the guy, Josh Jacobs, right? Was it Jacobs? The Packers? Like, I love our guys, but we need a number one receiver, you know?
Yeah. And I think guys feel more free to say that in the case of these two, they're big enough. In other circumstances, sometimes they say it because they're on a pod and they're just comfortable with their friends, and then maybe they have to walk it back.
Yeah, if they're because, in the locker room, they're not gonna double down.
Right.
But more. Give me more.
Yeah.
And put the owners in a situation. Now, most of these owners don't care. I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do, and they're not going to be swayed necessarily. I don't know. Maybe Joe Burrow could have an effect on Mike Brown. Look, Cincinnati has a chance to be good. I mean, they've gotten good, and the next step to staying good is holding it together.
Well, they've gotten bad, and to me, you cannot waste Joe Burrow because you're not going to spend money. Like, if I'm a fan of that team or if I'm a part of that team, that's just inexcusable. And I'm sorry, but, like, when your reputation is what it is, even if it's not, even if that's a simplistic way to look at their issues right now, that's what, I mean, you can't run from your history, and there are some big decisions here that they have to make. Are they going to pay anybody?
By the way, they went and got Trey Hendrickson, right?
Yeah.
So they're not all bad. I mean, they're sure. Not as cheap as they used to be. You know, the towels have gotten better in Cincinnati. They're still outdoors, right? But
there's another outdoor place.
They've made some great advances. And they signed Trey Hendrickson the first time. Now you need to sign him the second time to sustain things. And they need a defensive overhaul. Their good defensive coordinator suffered the consequences here. They're at a crossroad, right? Cincinnati deserves for that team. Any city does. When you've got a generational quarterback, like you're saying, you can't waste
and,
it.
And good
and
for
he's
him
saying that.
For saying it. Yeah, good for him for being willing to I love it. All right, we come back. We're going to rant because this TV stuff is getting ridiculous. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You should just be anti-journalism too, Joe, since everybody...
I'm not anti-journalism. No,
but in this guy's logic, since everybody's anti-journalism, we should, the two of us, journalists, we should just be anti-journalism too. What an idiotic statement by that guy.
Someone says heartburn is like gout. It's mental. God, I wish that were true.
That's a funny thing to say to somebody who's suffering from it.
Yeah. I wish. Yeah, believe me, if
it's
I could.
It's all in your head.
Yeah.
Nothing's in your chest.
It's like a little recap of the fun week we've had together here as Robbie and family enjoy more Disney in Orlando, Florida. We've had some good times this week. But you know what we did this week, PK? We at some point, I don't remember what day,
revolutionized the format.
The format of this show?
Format of Sports Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. We just again, Stilly and Pauly, you all can out there, some of you love it, some of you hate it. Let me tell you something. Someday, Stilly and Pauly together. Ah, it's a dream. But one thing that I did this week, Paul, is I gave you all the reasons on the air, right? All the reasons why absolutely you want to sign up for YouTube. We did talk about it on the air, did we not?
Yeah. And I got the remote that doesn't work.
You got the remote. People were telling us about the remote and how you go the back, all this
and
stuff.
And I'm in the transition period. I'm in my 21-day trial. I haven't yet canceled my Comcast. I'm getting used to it. I'm watching a lot of Paramount Plus. That's where my shows are. I'm in Landman right now, which is excellent. But during this transition, I YouTube is raising its price in the midst of now losing a bunch of CBS and CBS-affiliated stations in a dispute. And it's basically turning into Comcast.
Yeah, I'm first of all, I'm sorry.
Well, Comcast has never had any disputes, by the way, where it's lost channels, unlike DirecTV.
DirecTV did. We had some real issue with DirecTV. That was part of why I left. I'm very sorry, and let me just say right now, I've loved YouTube TV. It's a fantastic user experience. Again, I'm a huge user of the four screen thing. It's the app on the phone is fantastic. It's just really easy. It's much easier than the DirecTV app for my money, and as anybody who knows me knows, I need simplicity. I'm done with this crap. If they're done with CBS, how do you drop CBS
before March Madness?
March Madness is a month away. And you know, like, I have to – I'm going to be, you know, covering the tournament somewhere. But I'm also going to be watch – I have to have on my phone or on my computer other games regardless of what game I'm at.
You're going to have to get Paramount Plus, and Paramount Plus should probably have all of CBS's stuff on it. So that might be your end around. But, look, it's 2025. I talked about some of the concerns here in terms of the flexibility, the usability of flipping around on something like this. Comcast, Jared is pointing out, he texted me directly.
Hey!
Comcast has lost the Predators during the game. So these regional sports networks it has had trouble with. So that's a good ad. Thank you, Jared. But
good friends.
How is TV so hard in 2025? We're at the peak of technology, and TV has gotten worse and less manageable. And then you have these outage disputes. And this CBS might be responsible for this. I don't know the details. They may be being unreasonable.
Figure it out. I don't care.
Figure it the F out.
No, I'm with you. And look.
And you people all leading me here, right, as this is happening.
Well, no, and I've seen a lot of, like, non-cord cutters saying, see, glad I never did anything, you know, because.
Yeah, well, for 5 years, yeah. But, I mean, also, YouTube doesn't have you under a contract, but the price increases have been pretty damn regular, yeah. My people are telling me.
Well,
and soon
yeah.
It's going to cost as much as the Comcast that I'm getting out for a month.
Well, I mean, at least for me, for us, it's still, right now, it's much cheaper to do this. Although then when you do add in this app, that app, like I got Peacock app.
Well, I already have that stuff. Yeah. I got Comcast plus Peacock and Paramount. And the one that's reasonable is Hulu, Disney, ESPN plus bundled for like $10. I mean, I think that's good value.
Yeah. No, but I'm with you. It's like, why can't we should? Yeah, technology should make this easier for people, right? Technology should make this so that it's, you know, that it's the user experience is enhanced
better over
time, and instead it's just more confusing. And these disputes are just absolutely ridiculous. Like Nate on the text line is like, I don't believe that they're actually going to do it. But I don't know. I mean, we've seen these things go, and we've seen these things go. It's like, well, they won't. By March, they'll figure it out. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, deadlines
we've
do
seen,
make things happen. But
they
we've
do
seen
sometimes.
Plenty of these things. We've seen plenty of these things happen. And, you know, I've got guys in my All-22 group have been talking me through this. And one of them said, with this increase in YouTube and with them losing CBS, he's out. Well, I said, you're out. What are you
going
to do instead?
So where are you going? Right.
And he's like, well, I'll just piece together the streaming services, and I watch too much TV. I got to read more. Like, legitimately said, like, I'll figure it out when football season comes around and I need to see football. But otherwise, there's nothing I need to see that I can't watch on a couple of streaming services, you know, for TV shows.
Yeah.
And whatever. Now, my wife likes the local news to some degree. You know, and when there's a weather event, I'm not a weather event guy, but if there's a tornado or something, you do need.
You're not a weather event guy. You don't want the information. Helps. You're like, nah, I'm just going to.
Well, I could look out the window or step on the porch
to
see the weather, generally speaking.
Your knee acts up and then you know where the.
No, that's you with the knee problem. No,
I don't know.
My joints are fine.
Apparently, you don't.
I don't watch the weather on a daily basis. Like, I got to flick on my phone and see, is it going to be in the 20s today or the 40s and dress accordingly. I don't need to sit. Like, I think local weather casting is a huge scam.
What, when there's an event, you don't think there's any
value? No, when there's an event, I say that's the rationale for keeping it.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
If there's a tornado coming to my house, yes, I would like to know the details of that. That is rather infrequent.
That worried me for a minute. Okay. Yeah. It is rather infrequent. Yeah, but look, I need, like, there's so much to the YouTube TV that I don't think you get anywhere else, especially, again, everything recorded, no limit to the space, user friendly, all that stuff. But like, I can't do it without CBS. I can't do it. I mean, maybe you're right on the Paramount Plus thing, I guess, but like, I mean, you know, then take this into football season, right? Same thing. I mean, NFL and college football, right? I guess, you know, I got Sunday ticket, so I guess that would But still, like local, games that are on local CBS are blacked out on Sunday Ticket.
I mean, you're not going to get to hear the sixth CBS team call the Titans Jaguars game.
Exactly. Maybe, and Tom Brady may be hopefully demoted to that.
No, he's on Fox.
Yeah. Oh, right. That's right.
If they're going to black out a damn NFL network, black out Fox and save us from Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's our final conclusion. All right, we come back. We'll have Tron Davenport, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.